Welcome back to a Fireside Chat with Chilmark Research, looking at healthcare IT with a lens to the future.
Hello, all Chilmark friends and Chilcast listeners. My name is Elena Yakovleva, and I'm research analyst with Chilmark Research. This is our first Chilcast in 2023, and I just want to wish you all happy and prosperous new year. And today I am meeting with Dr. Jody Ring, who is our senior analyst. And the subject for this meeting is going to be his Trust in AI report, which made it in Health IT News Top 10 AI Stories in 2022. Congratulations, huge achievement. And I am just eager to learn more about that.
Thanks. Well, I'm excited to talk about it with you.
Wonderful. So let's begin with why trust now and where are we with AI in healthcare?
So one of the reasons we decided to do this report, if we just look at AI alone, well, let's stand back and look at healthcare in general and trust. And as we're moving to a more distributed healthcare system, that means trust is also distributed as we adopt more digital health technologies and so forth. And then, you know, just in society in general, we've had this transition over the last several decades where, you know, people used to trust the focal point of their relationship with the healthcare system was with their doctor. Now it's with a system. So trust is more diffuse and that kind of thing. And that's becoming more distributed because of the nature of the technology. And then when we get to AI itself, we have the issue of just growing awareness of what AI is or isn't in some cases, and worries about the potential harm that AI can cause or the risks when algorithms make decisions for us, and where's the human oversight and so forth. And then we've had a number of missteps with algorithms that have been used to refer people to disease management programs or, you know, sepsis detection and so forth. And it turned out they either didn't work very well once taken to a greater scale, or there are things like racial and gender bias in it. And there's a lot of that kind of historical artifacts from our data and the way clinical research has been done that gets integrated in the AI models. And then, you know, if you scale up these models, you're scaling up the bias.
Wonderful, Jody. Thank you. It really seems like a super hot topic right now. And could you please talk a little bit about the broader AI community and what has been going on around the ethics of AI to improve the situation?
Sure. So over the last 2 to 3 years, maybe a little bit more than that, we've seen everyone from the Vatican to World Economic Forum to FDA, a lot of sort of proliferation of principles, ethical principles, to serve as guardrails for AI. Of course, having some guardrails and broad principles, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But then when you get down to the level of the mundane and everyday practice of machine learning and then implementing these and clinical decision support, we need a lot more than that. So the FDA has come up with some guidelines for their software as a medical device, sort of regulatory environment, but the field itself is way ahead of the actual guidelines that are out there. So there's an awful lot of work that needs to be done, interdisciplinary work. It's not just data scientists and machine learning and even clinicians and so forth. We need some social science input and so forth on this to get more granular approaches to sort of, you know, governing AI and addressing emerging ethical issues as the technology develops as well, and to get out ahead of some of this stuff, because there are some patient safety issues and a whole plethora of problems that could arise if we don't do that.
I see. And now, can we talk about the components of a responsible AI framework and what is the meaning behind each of them?
Yeah, so you see a shift in the language from ethics of AI to responsible AI in the last year or two, especially, where a lot of companies came out and said, you know, they've made some hires and created ethics groups and then continue to do the same thing. So people started talking about ethics washing and stuff like that. So the shift to responsible AI is trying to put, you know, greater depth and clarity about some of these more granular things we can do to ensure better AI and safer AI. So those include, you know, the data governance and privacy and security around data that's used in the models, to validating and the reproducibility of the underlying model itself, and ensuring that there's no drift, or as that model gets deployed in a bigger population, it doesn't become less accurate. Human-centered design, and for that models to be more human-centric, accountability and fairness. And here we also get into the issue of explainability of the model, and not just having a black box model that we don't understand how it works and how it comes to a decision, but having a way to explain how this works. And there are lots of issues around that as well that we get into more in the report. There are some controversies around that and differing opinions. And then, of course, auditing for bias and along multiple axes around bias, that, you know, whether it's gender, race, ethnicity, and so forth, this model is going to be treat populations fairly. And then linked to that, you know, what's the impact on broader populations and health equity? So that's sort of a continuum of a, you know, responsible AI that in some ways you could almost view this as the beginning of a trust value chain, the things that we have to do and do well to ensure that these are robust models and aren't going to do harm.
Okay. And can you please explain why the need for continuous evaluation and so on keeps on growing?
So the continuous evaluation is needed because of some of the aspects of creating an AI model and how as they ingest more data, they learn from that data and they evolve. And if you look at health data, and especially if we're looking at digital health, you know, we're getting more different types of data that we're ingesting into the healthcare system that can also model developers and data scientists want to use more and different types of data to build these models, but that comes with a certain risk as well. And we refer to this as the dimensionality of data. So sometimes when you're ingesting different types of data and using that to train a model on, there can be a blind spot in that data where a particular form of bias, for example, exists. And then if you train that model on a very small population size, which is, that's very common. If you look at a lot of the FDA approvals that to date, you know, most of those, if there's data on the population, they're under 1,000 patients. So let's say you then deploy that model in a population of 100,000 patients that in that population has different features. That little blind spot in the training data can then grow exponentially and the model just won't work and will give you erroneous feedback. And so that issue of drift and dimensionality of data and so forth, we need to continuously monitor that because, you know, AI or machine learning models are not static. They evolve. And so we have to track that evolution and how they perform. And if there are these like hidden blind spots or bias as you apply it to a new population, we have to check for that. And so in the report, we go into, you know, how data scientists are going about that, some of the technological tools, some of the other tools that have been developed everywhere from Brookings to, you know, University of Chicago and Berkeley and so forth, different places that are really investigating bias in AI models very closely.
And what about healthcare industry? What are they doing in this area?
So last summer, MITRE and Mayo Clinic launched the Coalition for Health AI, which is about a coalition that's explicit focuses to foster more responsible AI and the kind of implementation of the frameworks and like validation and so forth that will put a check on models and make sure the most robust models enter the market. Within that, there's, you know, we're still seeing a lot of with the government as well. NIST, for example, has been writing, they've produced several really important reports on risk mitigation and risk management for AI that are definitely relevant to healthcare. But one of the areas that I really focus on in the report is, you know, we need these inter-industry collaborations. That's sort of the foundation of what needs to happen. But we talk about investment in the intangible economy and use the example of vaccines. We rolled out vaccines. We just didn't invest in vaccine production facilities and R&D facilities and, you know, cold chains and stuff like that. They worked on developing downstream advanced market purchase agreements and all these sort of intangibles that are not the hard infrastructure for producing vaccines, that sort of social people component. And there's some economic work in looking at how over the last decade or two, innovation has declined because we often do not invest enough in this so-called intangible economy. And I think machine learning, AI, is one of those areas where the emphasis has been on investing in these big labs, you know, expensive labs to build very large models and so forth in a small number of places. And so they're getting concentration, like a very large percentage of all the research in AI is funded by Google. So we need to democratize that. But then this sort of social infrastructure that assesses, evaluates, and so forth, all of these models, we need a lot more investment in that. It's not just about data scientists. We need transdisciplinary approaches. And one of the things we talk about in the report is how we could use, you know, this kind of inter-industry collaboration like CHAI and connect it to the medical liability insurance world, where, you know, you could label these models as they're evaluated with like a nutrition label, where you create greater transparency about the data used, how the, you know, bias was checked and whether it's replicable, the explainability, all those components I talked about earlier, make that transparent. And then have these sort of market mechanisms that, you know, those models that go through all of that validation exercise and have the highest results, they would get lower premiums on their liability insurance. And we'd have, you know, they could have a better price point in the market by investing in all of those steps in between. So I think that's the area where we haven't focused as much, but to make a safe, ethical, or responsible market for healthcare AI and to have the trust of patients and doctors, those are the types of things that are really, really badly needed. That's the big gap in the market at the moment.
Finally, what is trust and how will all of those measures contribute to trust and the challenge that new techs have with trust?
Yeah, one of the challenges with trust is it's been studied a lot from everything from anthropology to philosophy, but it remains a somewhat nebulous concept in practice. And in general, it refers to, you know, when you have two people engaged in a transaction, whether that, you know, like if I'm getting a service from you, for example, do I find you reliable in providing that service back to me in an effective, you know, fair way and so forth? And then there's the issue of trustworthiness that, let's say, if things go wrong, let's say I buy a product from someone and it doesn't work as well as planned, will I get stuck with the bill and a faulty product, or will the vendor compensate me for, you know, the loss of money and so forth? I mean, those are sort of broad kinds of definitions, you know, use cases of trust, so to speak, that have been out there. But I think when it comes to, you know, these new technologies and so forth, it's somewhat in flux. And as we get it, we mentioned earlier on, that this whole notion of distributed trust and, you know, who do we believe in and who do we count on for health information? And as we know, with, you know, COVID brought home the whole issue around misinformation, disinformation, and so forth. And there's a lot of that out there with AI as well. And with AI, the problem's more, you know, you have this hype cycle and promising the world, and AI is going to change everything down to the point we won't even know how to test our kids in school. Yet, you know, fundamental questions around what is intelligence itself are not answered in that hype. But a lot of data scientists are very concerned about how the hype is getting ahead of what the science can do and so forth. And so that that has the potential to create a lot of distrust, as we've seen models that go out and actually harm people. So in some ways, we can talk about trust in terms of distrust and the discontent that happens when things don't work and what that means to health systems. We had the example of IBM Watson and its failure because it wasn't a reliable platform for oncologists. And that's a good example that brought home the issue of, you know, marketing getting ahead of the actual science and not being able to create trust, and a product failed. I mean, now there's, you know, the next generation of that. So I think, you know, the answer is trust is a fairly nebulous concept. And there are a lot of organizations out there that do these trust surveys and they tell us something, but they're just a snapshot. Like I say, it's a snapshot of one frame in a motion picture. And so I think with this whole AI world, we're going to need to have sort of closer social science attention to what the actual users experience and how they articulate trust and understand the ethics at the level of, you know, everyday practice to get insights of what it means and a clearer understanding of what it means for AI in healthcare.
Well, I think we covered a big chunk of information on AI and trust, probably as much as we could fit into podcast format. And Jody, I just want to sincerely thank you for your time today and for your enormous effort into studying and publishing on AI and trust.
Thank you for interviewing me. It's been fun.
All right. So, Chillmark friends and Chillcast listeners, we are coming to the end of this podcast, and I just want to remind you all that this amazing report is still available for purchase, and we are proud to have the best expertise in AI and trust, and we are here to address any of your needs in AI and trust consulting. Stay tuned, and our next Chillcast will be updated soon. Have a great day.